The blind stares of a million pairs of eyes, looking hard but won't realize that they will never see the pea.
This is Shelby Harris, and you're listening to All Eyes on Cleveland.
Welcome to the OBR Streaming Network. My name is Brad Ward. This is another edition of All Eyes on Cleveland. Can you hear me? Can you hear me okay? Two thumbs up. The man next to me is the one and only Casey Kinnaman. Follow him on Twitter at Casey_Kinnaman. You can read him at Dog Pound Daily. He is the co-host of the Barking Browns podcast, which now has its own YouTube page, I believe. Correct? Yes.
That is correct.
Awesome. Co-host of Off the Leash at the PSF app, and basically a co-host of this show. So welcome on in. As you can see behind him there, he's got the glorious All Eyes on Cleveland logo lit up. Wonderful to see. What's up to the greatest chat in all the land, all of you filing in, over 200 of you watching already. We love it. Free agency mania. Much to discuss tonight. Much to discuss. Browns have been hyperactive, ultra active in these first few days, Casey. Lots to talk about. They've made some adds to the roster, and most importantly, they've retained some key pieces. They added a coach in the meantime too. I want to take a lot of your questions tonight. I want to, you know, give a lot of time to your guys' stuff tonight. So, but let's start with this. Most recent development, Devin Bush. Want to get your thoughts on this. So Devin Bush, first round pick, Steelers, great rookie year. Tears his ACL. Hasn't really been the same since as kind of a player. Great athlete, great speed. The word that I hear is that Schwartz wanted him. We talked about adding speed next to JOK or around JOK, depending on where they choose to play him, right? So we'll talk about Jordan Hicks in a little bit, but like, let's throw this up here while you're talking, Case. I want to get your thoughts on the – it's kind of a flyer. I guess you can call it taking a flyer on him. These are his grades. What do you think of the ad of Devin Bush?
This is AB's wheelhouse.
Yeah.
You know, former first-round pick, high-profile athlete, yeah. And he's underperformed. I mean, like you said, a lot of it goes into his rookie year. He's looking real good, tears the ACL. Hasn't been the same player since, but this is what AB's done since he's got here. Look at, you know, think back to 2020, like Tack McKinley. You know, he takes these flyers on these guys who are ultra athletic coming in, you know, high profile guys. They underperform, they bounce around, give them a flyer, get them in here. And we talked about it. What do they need? They needed some speed next to JOK. And this does that right off the rip. Now, do they view him as more of a rotational? And because they usually only have two backers on the field at any given time. You know, so that's probably Hicks and it's probably JOK the majority of the time. But there's going to be some sub packages where they get Bush and JOK out there. And all of a sudden, you definitely have the fastest linebacking room in the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I love about you guys in the chat. I just went 1, 2, 3, 4 right down the thing and you guys analyzed it better than I could. You know, Ty Sox, Schwartz wants him. That's all I need to hear. You can never have enough speed from fumble. Charlie, low risk, right? Great pedigree. You know, Jeff saying Schwartz wants him. That's all I need to hear. Yeah, I mean, exactly. Yeah. So you guys get it, right? Like it's a low risk, high reward. Schwartz wants to take him. He wants to add speed on the field. He's a guy that can get after the passer. Here's the downs he's played in the snaps. I thought this was interesting. As you see the drop off, last year a little bit. So there's that stuff. You see his tackling grades have always been very good. Even though some of the other grades are not, you know. So I don't think it's a I have no complaints here. As far as I've seen some people complaining and I don't have any complaints. I think it's a shot at a guy with some speed and that could work out. If he doesn't work out, who cares, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the chat said it, man. If Schwartz wants him here, bring the man in. Let's see what's up.
Yep, absolutely. So that's the first order of business there. I wanted to get that out of the way. And I do have some highlights that we can watch later on some of these newer players. I do want to address the elephant in the room. Tonight's show is called Free Agency Recap Observations and, of course, your questions. The huge drop-off, Pat, is because, well, the drop-off in snaps was a change of location. So he went from, we lost your video there, Case.
Oh, no. What's going on here, man? my light stayed green. We'll see if I can get it back for us.
Yeah, I had you for a minute there.
Yeah, we're working on it.
I know. You're good. The huge drop-off was the change of location, I think. So when he left Pittsburgh to go to Seattle, they didn't use him the same way or nearly as much. There you are. You're there. You're back. Yeah. Looking better than ever. All right. He's just a depth piece, Bradley. You're right. Bradley Bruns, always astute. He's been playing in a 3-4. It's a great point. So, you know, I think the way they use him creatively, right? You can get him on the field, let him run, let him just mm-hmm. – what Schwartz does with all of his players – it's like attack, recover, behind, fill behind, attack, recover, yep. fill behind. So if you let him out on the field and he wants to use his athleticism and speed to go run down a ball carrier or even just pass rush off the edge, like I saw somebody make the point in our Slack of the OBR or somewhere, he's short enough that you can play him and fast enough that at times against the linebacker, you can play him as a nickel almost – and then blitz him off the nickel use him in that area as well. So he brings an interesting repertoire that they didn't have before. I like to add, and if it doesn't work out, who cares, right? Biggest, for you, Casey, biggest signing of the so far, I'm going to say, I'll go first here real quick. I think the biggest signing was Za'Darius Smith. So, yeah, I took yours. All right. He was like, I was worried about him waiting really long, having to not know what was going to happen with him. He's been known to, slow play this thing. Mm-hmm. The fact that they got it done 2 years, day one, was just huge for me because what he can do as an outside and inside guy just opens up everything for Okoronkwo. It allows you third and pass to bring so many different packages. And so he is so critical to the defense, the perfect fit, setting the edge and whatnot, right? Does the dirty stuff. And he does it well, the dirty work. And I think that was the biggest signing for me.
Well, damn it, Brad, you took all my talking points. I do believe that the sign that he did sign early into the process, because I was with you, he was the biggest question mark, and I thought he was going to get offered and just kind of wait it out and see what the market said. You can throw Shelby Harris in his bucket as well. Shelby chilled till July, and it wasn't like he didn't have interest. He just didn't see a fit and didn't make a move for anything. And the fact that both those guys signed early, I think, speaks to the culture that's been built, to the camaraderie, especially inside that defensive line room. Those dudes wanted to be here. I mean, if you look at Za'Darius was traded for. He could have spent his year here, and if he didn't want to be in Cleveland, eject. He wanted to be here, and that's obvious by how quick he came back to the table.
Yeah, absolutely. All those guys, right? So, I mean, I was worried about the same thing about Shelby.
Mm-hmm.
Slow playing the thing, because look how late he was last year, right? Him and Marie signed right away. Now, you bring in Quentin Jefferson. So here's the other, obviously Jerry Jeudy is a more high-profile play than that. But, your guy here, right, is, for me, one of the other keys we said was got to get an upgrade over Jordan Elliott, right? Got to get an upgrade over Jordan. This is your upgrade over Jordan Elliott, I think.
Yeah, he is. And Jordan Elliott was fine last year, but you were able to improve on that, This will be his, I believe, sixth team in six seasons.
Yeah.
This cat's a mercenary. But 11 sacks over the last 2 years, think he had 13 quarterback hits last year. Like, he gets after it, man. He has like a 12% pass rush win rate. You know, like, he's definitely effective. And now you got him and Mo Hurst kind of rotate that. Dude, that's trouble for offensive lines, man.
So now you've got Dalvin, you've got Mo back, you've got Shelby back, and you add Quentin Jefferson and kick Elliott to the Niners, who signed him for way too big of a deal, a shockingly large deal. And I saw somebody's write up about like how what a good signing it was. And okay, that's fine. I hope he does well. I wish him all the best, but he didn't do a damn thing until he got in Schwartz's scheme.
Yes, facts.
And the 10 players around him changed significantly as well. So I don't know. I thought that it was one area they could upgrade easily in this market, and they did it. And they did it late. Like, you know, most of the guys were gone. So there you go. Jake, are Pop-Tarts ravioli? No.
No.
Absolutely not.
They're a pastry.
What in the hell are you talking about?
He asked the hard questions, though.
That's not a hard question.
That's not a hard. Hard-hitting journalism.
Are Pop-Tarts ravioli? Okay. Let's get to some of the hard-hitting stuff. We got 415 of you here now, so we might as well talk about it now and get it out of the way, because I don't necessarily want to talk about this, but I know everybody does. So the Browns, they choose to, despite Flacco coming out in the media, making his... So first of all, first point. I knew that there wasn't a market developing for him when he came out two days ago on Sirius XM radio and nationally stated that he wanted to come back to the Browns. I'm going, this guy would not have made that statement if there was a starting market for him. I'm a little surprised there wasn't. I thought that even like the Patriots would roll with him or somebody like that. Or somebody would bring him on as a bridge, but like, I don't know. I can't. As soon as he said that, I was like, no way.
And then that's the agents filling stuff out and seeing the writing on the wall. And I'm with you. I thought he was going to at least earn the right to compete, to be a bridge, if nothing else, in a Minnesota or a New England, especially with Van Pelt going to New England. You know, you could see a path there. And when that didn't materialize, he made the statement that he would like to come back here. And if you make that statement, you're saying that not to compete as a starter.
Chris says he will be playing in Indy. Yeah, there's a good chance of it with Richardson's, you know, playing with reckless abandon. We'll see. But a strange backup to him, right? Flacco to back up him.
Yeah, play style. I mean, they both have cannons, but outside of that, there is nothing that you could assimilate that their games are similar in any kind of way.
Drew and Brixie. Daylight Savings was on. Drew, come on, man. Daylight Savings was last week, brother. You still messed up from a week ago? I suppose. I guess it takes a while to change all your clocks, like the ones that aren't like automatic, like your car.
Well, I'm not used to it being white when we do this show, and it's light outside my window right now.
I'm good to have you, Drew. Good to see you here, brother. All right, so Winston and Flacco signed for our basically identical money.
Yeah,
8.7 up to 8.7, 4.5 is the real number, right? Guaranteed, I think, on both their deals. So almost an identical contract in both places. There are people throwing a goddamn fit on social media about Flacco, right?
Yeah,
and listen, I get it. Listen, I get it. He was how do we say this? He's kind of like a cult legend, right? Like he's like, I get it. Like that five games was beautiful. Yeah, Tony Grossi is all in his feelings about this, you know. He's super butthurt about Flacco, right? And like, people don't understand, and they this and that and the other. I want to get your opinion on why you think this happened, And like, so a lot of people, the thing that has pissed me off the most about the situation is I've seen some real reckless speculation here where people are drawing the line from Deshaun Watson didn't want Flacco here. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah.
On Twitter? Yeah. Deshaun didn't want Flacco here. So that, no, no, you can't make that speculation. You have no idea if that's a fact. By all accounts, they had a great relationship last year. So I don't, you know, whatever.
Some chest bumping.
Some chest bumping. And yeah, on his podcast, he talked highly of Flacco. Yeah. So like, I don't think that's what it had to do, but I do want to get, tell me what you really think, why this happened. Yeah. Do you think it's a good move, bad move? And then I'll give you my thoughts, but like, and do you think it had to do with pressure at all?
No, no. You can't pay attention to the front office or the coach's words. Pay attention to their actions. What did they tell you? They revamped the entire coaching staff. Why did they do that? They're trying to get offensive innovation. They're trying to change things up. And if you're trying to pivot away from the exact same things that Flacco is amazing at, you know what I mean? Like, it makes no sense to pin yourself to him and have him be your backup. So you go get Jameis Winston, which is the name I brought to you a couple months ago when we started talking about this.
You did.
A guy that I would be okay with.
Yep.
He can do those things, man. He can do every single thing Flacco can do, but he
absolutely
can do more. He's athletic. He can do the RPOs. He can do the sprint options. He can do the things that Flacco just can't do. You know, and I'm not saying Flacco's a terrible athlete and Winston's some great athlete, you know, but Winston is incredibly more mobile than Joe Flacco. I don't think that's an arguable point for anyone. So they wanted offensive innovation. So you go get a quarterback who's multidimensional, who can do more things and still give you the big arm capabilities, you know? And I don't think, like, the other part is, if you were to list the best backup quarterbacks in the NFL, you're not going to find four more better than Winston. He's one of the best backups. Agreed. In the league. He's a different kind of backup too. I'll argue this. There's people that started games last year that Winston was way more skilled than. There's going to be people that start games in the league this year that Winston has more skills than.
Yeah.
You know, he's a different kind of backup too, though, because a lot of people just want your backups to play it safe and just, you know, don't muddy the waters. Winston gets in there, man. He'll get dirty. He's volatile. Same thing as we dealt with Flacco last year, though, as far as picks and stuff like that go. But with that comes the explosivity that he gives you in the vertical game. Winston will give you that as well, you know. And man, we don't talk about it enough. Winston's entertaining. I can't wait for the preseason. I can't wait for him to get behind a podium and say some ridiculous shit, dude. I'm team J-Mo on this one.
Yeah. So listen, he's beloved in the locker room. By teammates. Now, he has a somewhat checkered past, but by all accounts, like, I was watching the Pat McAfee show, dead serious, D. Butler says he's going to be a preacher or pastor when he retires. Like, so he is kind of become a man of God, and I'm not saying that he's changed his life or whatever, but he is very entertaining. He is one of the best backups in the league, and to your point, every throw that Flacco can make down the field, throw the ball, deep ball, Winston can make all those throws, and he can make some of the underneath stuff better with more touch, and he's more mobile. He fits this much better. 9 years younger, to Pat Shea's point. It's a fit thing first and foremost. I am not going to lie to you. So it seems to be one extreme and the other here, okay, Casey, when people talk about this. They're like, I said this in our Slack and I got hammered for it, I also think it certainly was taken into account a little bit that, you know, high-pressure situation for Watson, coming off this injury, putting a cult hero behind him, to have him, the fans chanting his name. Now, don't get me wrong. I get it. It's going to be like that no matter who it is.
Yeah, I was going to say that. It's the backup quarterback in Cleveland.
The backup quarterback is the favorite guy in town, right? That's just always the way it is. But when you put Flacco there, it's just amplified times 1,000. because of, yeah, of last year.
Especially early
right?
on. Yeah. Especially early on.
Because those five games are some people like Tony Grossi's, those are Tony Grossi's glory days, right? Those were the glory days, the five games last year, right? They lost in the first round of the playoffs because the guy threw two pick sixes back to back. Like it was a fun run. Yeah. Loved every minute of it, but it ended abruptly for the same reasons that it was good. Okay. We're new year. Let's move on from that. But at the same time, it's not as black and white as Watson has to be mentally tough enough to handle this. Listen, you can say that, right? Like, welcome to pro sports, welcome to whatever. He has to be able to handle it. Either way, he's going to have pressure. Yes. But it is amplified by like 150 if it's Flacco.
Yeah, if you can control that pressure, you should do what you can to control the pressure.
If you can reduce the pressure somewhat, mm-hmm. and get the guy that fits better, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah,
for me.
Well, that's it for me, man. I mean, if you're really trying to run RPO and change your offense, you need to navigate in such ways that your backup can run that same system. You know, and
yes.
Flacco's not that guy.
Yes. Be careful, Watson on a block run today. Yeah, I mean, I saw some of that, but I don't even know if he runs his own account. We don't even know if he runs his own account. I'm not gonna. So, speaking of loving Jameis, right?
Mm-hmm.
This right here was beautiful. Like, I love this. This quote was precious. Did you read? I'm sure you read this,
oh, yeah.
right?
Yeah.
All right, I read this the other night, but I'm going to read it again because it's so amazing, right? At least I think it is. Entertaining. Just got off the phone with QB Jameis Winston on his decision to agree with Cleveland. Quote, yes, I still envision myself as a starter. However, the Lord has also called me to lead by impacting and increasing the men who are around me. Having the opportunity to work with Deshaun Watson and help him be the best he can possibly be is my main mission. Now, if Deshaun has to heal up for whatever reason and I have to take a few games off of him, I'm going to be ready to do that. But I have to fulfill God's purpose first before my own heart's desire. Because ultimately, I desire to win some Super Bowls. And this roster that Cleveland got looks like they can do it. Love this quote, right? Like,
I can't wait for this guy to get behind a podium.
He's all for the cause, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's for the cause. And it doesn't have to be, you know, it's not disruptive, right? Where I think that that Flacco's, like, imagine training camp when they get back from the Greenbrier. Joe Flacco.
Yep.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Deshaun Watson's your starting quarterback. Like, come on. Let's just put him in a situation to succeed. And this guy can do everything that he can and better. 9 years younger. He's all in it. Like you said, top four, you know, backup in the league, top five backup in the league. So for those reasons combined, like, there's a gray area there, right? Like, there's a gray area there where it doesn't have to be about his mental toughness completely. It can also just be about creating the best atmosphere for a guy to succeed.
Yeah, and you're saying right from the jump, he's putting the team first of himself. You know, this is a guy who was taken number one overall.
Yeah.
Like, just to have that in your past to where you were – I've known who this kid was since high school because of the Elite 11. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I've known who Jameis Winston was for, I don't know, 15 years, at least 14 years when he was – he actually committed to Alabama. And then he's from Alabama too. but to his first actions is to say that, to put the team first, to put the betterment of Watson, which is what, as fans, we should all be rooting for, because if Watson takes off, this whole thing takes off. You know what I mean? And he's committed to that. And that's all you can ask for out of your backup quarterback.
And ultimately, we are talking about a backup quarterback too, right? like if Watson fails completely, it's not really going to matter at all. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, let's... I will say that Jameis does give you a chance. Like, he will go on streaks where he will light it up. And he had an opportunity to start in New Orleans, and he toned down the interceptions, and he played a little better, and he went, 5-2 or something like that in one stretch? So, like, you potentially have a guy there that can certainly, as he said, take some games off of him if need be and get you some wins. And you don't have to change anything about the offense at all. He's still going to throw it all over the yard. He's still going to be a threat. And with Jerry Jeudy, I'm fired up, man. So we haven't did we top Jerry Jeudy last time? Would that happen last time we were on?
It did not happen, sir. That dropped on Saturday morning.
All right, let's do this real quick. Do I have Jerry? Jerry, do I have you? I don't know if I have Jerry. Hold on. I grabbed a bunch of highlight videos to play like while we kind of talked here, but I don't know if I grabbed Jerry Jeudy's. I meant to. Because there are some shots of him just running past guys. Mm-hmm. Like, his burst is ridiculous. And, like, the more I watch of him, the more excited I get. Like, I got to be honest, I'm pretty fired up about Jeudy. Like, I think that he can step in and do everything you want him to do for this offense. I really do. So,
the one thing that it comes down to for Jeudy to me, because the upside's there, the skills are there, it's consistency. If he can play at that level consistently, this is a home run. No matter what at base value, this is a good trade because it's a swing at a high talent for low risk. You know what I mean? So just on base level, you got to agree with that. You know what I mean? Like a fifth and a sixth, they weren't even yours. Those were other assets that you gained from other trades, just kind of spare picks laying around that you didn't plan on using anyway. You trade, you get this high value talent, like AB's wheelhouse, former 15th overall pick. You know what I mean? He's very explosive, gives you more of a vertical threat. I see him as a slot. That's just the role I envision for him.
A lot slot. So he's very good out of the slot. We watched a video on the React where the guys at Underdog were breaking down his game pretty good, and they did a real good job of it. But, like, he's very good out of the slot. He has a kind of a hard time if you line him up as on the line of scrimmage with press man a little bit.
That's my concern.
Like, using motion, stacked sets, that stuff to get him free releases – that's how you got to get creative and do that, because that will get him free. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting with Elijah Moore, and you want to talk about slot, like, and you know who's really good at a slot too? Amari Cooper. So yeah. I think you looking at, like, so I can't take credit for this. Somebody else at the OBR said it, but I think you're looking at, like, if you broke down those four guys, right? Or three guys, three, four? What am I counting right? Three?
It was three. We didn't bring Tillman into this yet.
Yeah. So if you're breaking down those three guys, right, your top three wide receivers, and which ones are slot and slot snaps, if you had to break them down and say quarters, I think Jeudy plays 50% of the slot. I think Moore plays 25%, and probably Cooper gets 25%. And maybe a little tick up on Moore and tick down on Coop. Just because of the guys around him. But, you know, in this day and age, in this kind of offense that they're going to be running, you know, they're going to be 11 personnel a ton, I think. And so I think you're going to have a lot of guys taking slot snaps. And so Moore is good out of the slot, but he's also very good outside, which is
That's where my brain goes. I think now we get to see him more outside. And I think that, like, him and Tillman rotating, him even spelling Amari and giving Amari some reps. You know, like, I just – This gives you versatility, man. You got a couple interchangeable pieces, and I think people sleep on how good Moore is down the field when he's on excellent. The outside.
Yep. His ability to stop on a dime. Also, Jeudy, you know, plus when you're playing him out of slot, then he's getting more of a free release, right? Slants, goes, nine routes, that kind of stuff is what he is really good at. Even outs, not so much like digs or anything, but, you know, outs and stuff like that. Like, he'll break people's ankles with his ability to stop, cut, go. The explosion, he's just more explosive than anybody they have with the ball in his hands.
Well, that's where I go to immediately is what he gives you after the catch. You don't have that in the room currently outside of Njoku. Now you got a guy who's dangerous. And that's what's confusing, is because once the ball's in his hand and he's in the play, in the field of play, he has excellent play strength. He's slippery. He's got good contact balance, but he does not do well off the line of scrimmage if you press man. And you can say, so you do kind of have to sneak him around. Like, even when I was watching the film, Broncos were motioning him in the backfield just to get him free releases.
Yeah, you can get him free releases. And they should be using more motion anyways, right? So
they better. They better.
Speaking of, that's a good point to bring up another change that the get off free agency real quick, and I promise we'll get you guys questions here real soon. But Browns hire coach Nick Charlton from he was the offensive coordinator at Connecticut under Jim Mora. Didn't see this one coming.
Not at all.
So, and before that, he was the head coach at Maine, right, for three years.
He was the youngest college football head coach in the nation.
Yeah. So this hire, for me, is all about the same thing they got with Tommy Reese. Young, innovative mind. Innovation. So if you go to what they did at Maine, right, and you – so once again, follow the breadcrumbs here, folks, right, with this offense and where we're headed. Maine – was a, when people described it, a very pro-style run, highly, high RPO usage offense. So lots of RPO. Now, the one thing they said about him, he doesn't get locked in on any, like he's free to, he said that when he came to Connecticut, he wanted to implement the no huddle and some other stuff, right? Because he's very focused on, like, what players do I have? What strengths do they have? I'll play to their strengths. He's not, like, locked into one thing. Which is my – the problem I have with a lot of coaches is that they're locked into, this is my scheme. This is my style. Player doesn't fit. Tough luck. Round peg, square peg, round hole, whatever, right?
Like, yeah, they get stuck in modalities.
You got to play to player's strengths. And even Stefanski was talking more about this than I've ever heard him talk about it this offseason. We want to play to our player's strengths. We want to, you know, put these guys in a position to be successful and this and that, which is very much what Dorsey's about too. So you're seeing a theme here, right? And I think you're seeing an influx of young coaches that – have innovative minds, heavy RPO, spread type of mind stuff, implement that from the college level up with the NFL mind that can tweak it. He also is very much about a lot of disguise and motion and
window dressing.
Window dressing. Thank you.
Yes, that's sir.
That's the term I was looking for. You knew I was reaching for it. You read my mind. A lot of window dressing. So, I like the hire. I don't know a ton about him, but, like, listen, from everything I've read about him, he fits the mold of what they're going for.
They're implementing new thought processes into this coaching staff, and that's got to be exciting, you know? Like, this is not a dogmatic approach. They're looking outside of the box, and they're trying to look in different areas, and I wasn't familiar with them either. I've read up on them the last couple of days, obviously, like everyone else. But I just – you have to be excited that they're embracing these new younger minds who are – probably this will be probably a pit stop if it goes well. You know what I mean? They'll get Reese and Charlton in here. And if it goes well, these guys will move up the ranks either with them or with someone else. But you latch onto those ideas and you try to see what you can come up with. And it's going to be an amalgamation of all these different football minds coming together. But just the idea that your head coach is not so stuck in his system that it's, you know what I mean? Just opening it up, bringing these new thought processes in. We'll see what it looks like. You know, it's that's going to be the million-dollar question. Like, what does all this amount to? We don't know. Last year, we spent all offseason talking about how different the offense was going to be. And it looked different a little bit at first, but then at the end of the day, it was same old offense, you know? And I think they realized that. And that's why you see the turnaround they did with the coaching staff. And I think just – by implementing all these new thought processes, it's almost going to be impossible to look the same at this point.
Yeah, I think the only thing that will resemble itself is there's going to be some 12 personnel stuff that I think that is a staple of what Stefanski does, that
Dorsey
also does, that I think you'll see some of. But other than that, I think you're going to see all of pretty much new spread, RPO, very creative, window dressing, you know.
Well, I was worried when it was just, you know, obviously Stefanski, and then they hired Dorsey, and that's the only moves we knew they made at that time, because neither of those dudes are motion centric. Neither of their approaches are based in motion. Then you add Reese and you add Charlton. It's like you start to see, and Dickerson, who spent time with the Rams, like absolutely, this all starts coming together and you can kind of envision where this thing's going.
I will say this, and you can say this definitively now. They didn't do this halfway. No matter what happens, whether it works or not, this offseason, there's nothing halfway about the change. Yeah.
No,
I mean, they've basically cleaned house and they brought in a bunch of fresh minds that are all along the same thinking. So, and I like that. If you're going to do something, do it all the way, right?
Yeah, yeah, they're not half-assed in this, man. They ripped the Band-Aid off, you know what I mean? And they're going to see what they can come up with.
All right. Jerry Jeudy trades Za'Darius Smith, Maurice Hurst, Shelby Harris, Quentin Jefferson, we mentioned already. Naheem Hines added. Naheem Hines had a very successful role in Indianapolis. The thing I like best about him, okay, is that he's not a guy that you bring in to play running back and when Chubb's not ready. And then when Chubb's ready, he just falls into the background. Yeah. So no matter what, he's your kick return specialist. He can do this. He can do that. He's part of your pass game. So and he brings speed and he brings weaponry. So all the talk of like Jake Burns is talking a lot about like what they want to be able to do in this offense is just get easy yards sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that by adding Jeudy and a guy like Hines on the field, and you'll see in some of his highlights are just swing passes to him and him getting free or running with his speed and getting like easy yardage can be created just by personnel and just by looks, right? Three by one. You send a couple guys on a go and a guy on an out and it clears everybody out. Guy makes a mistake and you swing pass out and speed, right? Speed, 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 speed. You got burst and speed with Jeudy. You got burst and speed with Hines. And then the thing here is, too, when Chubb comes back, he still has a major role on the team, no matter what.
Yeah, his role is the third down back. The thing that makes me the most excited, though, is when we've talked about this before, is this gives you roster flexibility because you finally got a guy who can contribute on the field and return kicks. He's not just here as just a kick returner. He's a guy who's going to give you that third down value, excellent in the passing game. A guy that if you can get in mismatches, if you catch him in man and there's a linebacker on him, like you said, it's free money right there. You know, yeah. So and he was also out of sight, out of mind, because we're talking about a guy who didn't play last year because of a jet ski accident. So he wasn't someone that we were all thinking about. But then you hear the name, it's like, oh, yeah. And then you go back and you start to evaluate his game and you see where he fits into this. I still feel there is a need to add another running back, though, just because of the uncertainty of Nick Chubb. If you tell me Nick Chubb's going to be 90% of Nick Chubb, I'm not worrying about it. But we're not guaranteed that.
I found the Jeudy film. As you can see, I found the Jeudy. I found the Jeudy highlights. I wanted to throw them up here. But, yeah, we can keep talking. So
let me ask you about Jeudy real quick. When the news, like, where was Jeudy at on your radar as far as preferences before the trade?
Are we free? Come on now. Be better than that. All right, go ahead.
Where was Jeudy at on your list of preferences before the trade? Was he on, like, in your top five of guys to target, or was he?
I think he was fourth on my trade targets.
Okay.
But I must admit that after. Can you hear me now?
I can now, yeah. Every second you went all Max Headroom on me for the old people out there listening.
We'll keep trying for a minute here. So the thing with him is that since I started watching him, I didn't realize the athleticism and the burst. Like, I didn't remember, like, until I saw it. But, like, what were they – they had to have been using him kind of wrong, right? Like, I mean, look at some of
this stuff.
He
didn't play that many snaps last year. I think he might have fell out of favor along with Russell last year to Sean Payton. Because when I was watching film, there were several times it would be, you know, 12 personnel, and he's not one of the receivers, or then 11 personnel. And they have three different receivers that aren't Jerry Jeudy.
You know, this so is the one. Watch him run past people here. Watch him run. Look at this.
Yeah, yeah. Fluid, man.
Like, he runs past the entire defense right there. Yeah, that's the one.
Perfect strider.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, he wasn't on my immediate list, But the guys that I wanted would have all taken much higher compensation to land. And you'd been committed to more money this year if you'd, you know, if the guys that I was targeting. So I respect the trade, man. A fifth and a sixth to get a guy with this kind of upside. I respect.
Yeah, and you don't need him to be
a world beater.
All world. You need him to be a two.
Mm-hmm.
Which he's done, which he's put up that kind of production. I mean, he's been at 900 some yards and six touchdowns before, right?
Yeah, if he does that next year, man, we'll be high on it.
Yes.
We'll be hype.
I mean, he should, honestly, he has the potential to absolutely blow up in this offense. He really does. Like, his speed, athleticism, I mean, I can't wait. Like, I think he adds a totally different new dimension to this team.
I'll tell you another thing, though. When I was watching the tape on him this year, I watched three different exposures to him, and it just solidified to me. It's like, man, Russell really wasn't good last year.
Russ was not as good as his numbers. I saw all kinds of
Jerry Jeudy being wide up. It was giving me Elijah Moore feelings where I was, you know, the same thing the year before. I'm watching Elijah Moore just get cardio in as the quarterback doesn't even look at him.
Yeah, Jake posted this one where Judy's running wide open, and he just tucks it and runs it.
And gets nothing.
Nothing.
Instead of a touchdown.
I mean, he's always open, man. Just his suddenness and burst will get him open.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm not going to make a mistake and try to crown anything yet, but I will say this, between him, Cooper, and Moore, you got three top 20 route runners. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know if it'll work and what that kind of chemistry will be. But as far as just being route runners, they got three technicians, man.
Yeah, they do. And he, you know, listen, I'm not going to crown anything either, but I'm excited, super excited. And then, yeah, it's at Serge's point. And then you think about Njoku and what, I mean, just they just have so much weaponry now.
This is the thing now. Now Tillman can grow and he's not going to be expected to do a ton of heavy lifting.
And he can get in there and carve out a role, you know. Mm-hmm. And then if he does come on, all these guys are in contract years, right?
In 25. I expect that to change in the next couple months. I don't think that we go into next year or into the season with that being true.
Whoop.
I also don't know if, because he's scheduled to make 12.9, I don't know if he plays for 12.9. I don't know if there's not. They've been after this kid for 3 years. You know what I mean? He's been a target.
I would wait on the extent. You think they're going to?
They probably will, but if they can't, they'll probably do what they did to Jed and restructure this fifth-year option. I just don't think he pays for 12.9.
I asked Jack about that. Can you convert his? He said he wasn't sure if you can. I don't know why you couldn't, though.
Yeah, it's fifth-year option. They did it to Jed's. I don't think there'd be a reason not to. And I just, you know, and if it does take off, I think they will be there. I think the extension will be there. They've been after this kid for years. They've envisioned this before, you know. So to finally land him, I'm sure there's already provisions in place in case it does work.
Yeah, you guys are right. They're making the same point in the chat that you just were about Russ being inaccurate at times. I mean,
or just
really,
having terrible eyes. And that's the other thing, too. The kid was playing in the slot, and Russell Wilson does not throw over the middle of the field.
No.
Will not do it.
That was a pretty good ball. But, like, the thing about Russ and his numbers last year, Jeudy runs a good slant,
mm-hmm.
doesn't he? But
contact balance right there, man.
Yeah. The thing about his numbers, I think that he was just so – check down Charlie, right?
Yeah, everything was at or behind the line of scrimmage at the highest clip in the NFL.
To the point that, yeah, he went for, what, 26-8 or something like that, and that looks really good. But, you know, he never pushed the ball down the field unless somebody was wide open.
And that's the one thing. But Russ has a good deep ball. That's the one thing. You know, he's got that moon ball. We'll get to talk about that later at some point.
Touchdown. Good route.
Yeah, sometimes at the catch point, he doesn't bring it in quick enough.
What do you think about that touchdown dance he's got?
I could do without that one.
You could do without Jeudy? I like it. I like it. I'm a fan. Whoop!
He looks much longer when he strides, too. Do you notice that?
Yeah, he does.
When he strides, he looks like he's got a little more length to him than he actually does.
Yeah, he's, what, 6'1", 193?
He's a little white. He's a little white. But like I said, that play strength's there when the ball's in his hands. Like, he's slippery. No, you know, look at that. Look. Yeah. Come on, man.
Yeah, he belongs.
Here we go.
Oh. You said Juki.
He dies hard. Yeah, and that'll win the fans over right there.
Yeah.
The fact that he just dies hard. Ooh.
High stepping.
Hey, gave him that false leg too, man.
Yeah.
Stanky little Dion leg. Action for you, strided on him. Yeah, I completely get it, man. You got that kid for a fifth and a sixth, and if it works out, you know, you never know.
Boy, I tell you what.
Jared Stidham, he had a hell of a game against the Raiders in this game, buddy.
Yeah, he did. I think, is this the one that Judy got in three times? I don't know.
Yeah, Stidham, yeah. But, it was the one Stidham started week 18.
The thing I was going to say about Drew Lock throws some pretty good balls from watching film on Judy.
Yeah, Drew Lock was another guy I'd have been on for a backup. I think where he ended up going, I saw it today. Drew Lock's competing with it's not the Vikings. I can't remember now. But yeah, he's somewhere now.
So, you guys want to watch some more? Let's watch some. Well, first, we can watch some Hines and talk about this. So you think they need to add another? Hold on.
So you think here's the thing, man. So say Chubb's out for he starts on the pup. Just say that. Just say he starts on the pup. So you're going into the season with Jerome Ford, Pierre Strong, and Nyheim Hines. I don't feel good about that, man. I don't. I think you need to add another veteran that can be a little bit of a hammer in the short term.
I agree that in a perfect world, you would add a bigger back to the mix. Now, they may do that in the draft.
But then you're asking a rookie to be able to, because if you would need him, you'd need him at the beginning of the season, right?
Right.
That's tough to ask a rookie. Like, all right, you know, you're going to have to be up to snuff week one, which you might. I mean, sometimes running backs come in the league and they're good to go out the box, but it's something you don't know until you get them on your team.
So,
like a Estime, I could see that.
Yeah, Estime. Here's Alan. The question, right? Ford is the one, and that's not exciting. So what I took from this and what if you listen to Zagura on CBD, you can kind of read between the lines of some stuff that he's heard. All week he's been talking about how high this staff is on Jerome Ford.
Yeah, and And look, man, he could make a jump, but I think banking on that's foolish when you're in a winning window. I think it's imperative to get off to a good start. And if signing a Deontay Foreman can kind of buoy the running back room for the first few weeks, I would make that move.
Listen, I'll listen to that all day. I don't think you can have enough because he did run. He ran it wasn't a 5.7. But it was did run a high 40. But you don't need him for that. You just he's not the kind of back he is.
He's a
physical back. So yeah, I think that I will listen to your argument that they probably should add another back. Because I've been saying all along, you can't treat it as though Chubb's going to be there, right? You have to act as if not. And if you're not right now, you're saying that you're fine with Jerome Ford being your one, right? Because you're not going to run Hines between the tackles very often.
No.
Right?
No. And, you know, you could tell they were high on Ford because of all the opportunities they gave him last year. And they didn't panic and go out and get someone. So maybe that's the case. I just think it's foolish going into a winning window that they're in to to hamstring themselves in such a way. You know, and don't get me wrong, man. Like, if you tell me Nick Chubb's even going to be 90% of himself, I'm not worried about this shit at all. We just don't know that.
I think, Pat Shea, I think you make a good point here in that What are you saying, Keith? My stream got kicked off YouTube? What does that mean? Is that real? No, it didn't.
I'll check on my end.
For what? The highlights?
Yeah, stream unavailable. Well, that would be unfortunate. What's going on here?
That's a shame. Happens. Unfortunately, I didn't think that, I thought the highlight video there, policy violation, stream is suspended. Sorry, guys. So how are you watching me then?
Probably Twitter. I just told him to jump over to Twitter on the chat and YouTube. Okay. And we're back.
And we're back. Let's see if we can do this.
They're after you, Brad.
They're what?
They're after you, Brad.
They are.
You pissed off
I
YouTube.
I messed up. I shouldn't have done that.
It's because those highlights were like porn. You can't be showing porn on YouTube.
It's true. It's a great point.
It's the only kind I make.
Bradley Bruns, your stream is still going. Sheesh. Yeah, we did. We got busted. I'm going to get yelled at.
See, I don't know the ins and outs and how much highlights you're allowed to show and what's fair use and what is not.
I guess that's probably not fair use if I'm muting the person that was talking on the video, huh? I apologize. Maybe we can do, this? Let me see something here. It's back on YouTube. I don't see how that's possible.
Yeah, looking at it.
It's back. We're back up. Get out of here.
Looking at it right now.
Back on.
Looking at our sexy mugs. For sure.
We lived to fight another day. I trust you, Keith. I'm sorry. We lived to fight another day. Sorry, 657 of you for the delays there while we worked it out. Barry just had to crack some skulls. That's exactly right, Serge. That's my bad. If anybody on the YouTube algorithm is listening or watching, I apologize for the infraction. It won't happen again. That, I guess, was not considered fair use, Casey.
Yeah, I'll just reenact it. That's what I'll do. Those jukes at that kind of speed, you know I got that.
How do you do that Judy dance? And
touch buddy, I don't know about that.
That one's pretty nifty. All right, so let's go back to the our previously scheduled commentary here. So we're down to just kidding, YouTube. Fred put his sunglasses on and they crumbled. You guys are hilarious. All right, so let's remove that and let's talk about some of these guys. All right, let's talk about Jordan Hicks. Is he a Mike linebacker for you?
He may be a Sam at this stage in his career. He's played Mike. Every year he was in a 4-3 to start his career. He was a Mike. He was a right inside backer once he transitioned to a 3-4. But at 6'1", 236, you know what I mean? That could be the talk replacement. But he can play the mic stuff. It depends on what kind of team you're playing. You know what I mean? Like if you're playing someone where speed is a necessity, you might see Bush on the field more in that role. But yeah, I think the physicality is what he's bringing to the table.
So the reason I feel okay about the Bush signing is because of this signing. Like Hicks is a dog. Schwartz, yeah, Pat, you're right. Played under Schwartz, understands the scheme. He's a tackling machine.
Yes, sir.
Downhill. He's still got good speed, sideline to sideline. I love this signing. So this is I was so mad. I was so close to putting him in my mock free agency, and then they signed him.
Like the day
that I put out my mock free agency, he got signed, and I'm like, you idiot. Could have nailed that one. Yeah, so great stat. 100 plus tackles last five seasons. Critically honest. Keep Nick Chubb on Twitter. So we appreciate you guys all watching, over 600 of you. If you have time, feel free to hop over to YouTube. When you get a chance, hit the like button, hit subscribe. We appreciate the algorithm. We'll appreciate it too. Try to get me out of the doghouse. Go over there and give us some likes, because I got some splaining to do.
A tribute to the YouTube gods.
Yeah. All right. So we love the Hicks signing. Hakeem Adeniji and Michael Dunn. Michael Dunn is retained. Good signing there.
Can't quit
Michael Dunn. Hakeem Adeniji. Flyer on a potential swing.
Yeah. I think this is given
body type.
Giving Hudson some comp here to keep his spot.
Good. He needs it.
Well, you got to do that at every position, man. People fall in love with who's on your roster. But at the end of the day, you can't let anyone get comfortable, especially the guys on the bottom. Bring in competition. May the best man win.
Yeah. I think you, you know, he can run block so well, but Adeniji is probably a better pass blocker.
The thing is, I don't know if they'll just straight up give up on him. They might kick him inside. You know, if he gets beat out, they might kick him inside and see what he can do at guard before releasing him.
It's a good option. What do you think of the special teams signings? Giovanni
Ricci.
Ricci.
Yes, sir. From Loveland, Ohio.
He's a guy from Ohio. What are we paying, Don? The minimum? Probably. Pretty sure the minimum.
Yeah, I haven't seen the numbers. I haven't seen the numbers on pretty much any of the new guys.
Listen, all the up to whatever.
Yeah, I don't. It's whatever.
Keith Nash thinks that Hudson needs to move back to defensive tackle.
If he does, it will not be on this team.
Yeah, you ain't going to make the rotation on this team.
No, sir. He might have a couple years ago, bro. That might have been an option.
Good question here from Kelly Black. Can we expect any more free agent moves, or is it now on to the draft? I don't think they're done because they've been involved in two. He used to be, says Keith. They have been involved in so many talks. Like, I just feel like they're not done.
They're kicking tires, brother.
Because I think that Barry will continue to pick up the phone and check on everything because he's looking for value. And I think that, you know, the deal they signed with Za'Darius, the trade for Judy, I think gives them some flexibility money-wise. Mm-hmm. If they want to make another splash, I think they can.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think that's something else that needs to be commended, too, is because they've been active at the beginning of free agency, yet they're still getting value, and free agency is a place you rarely see value early. You might see it in the third or fourth wave, but usually that initial burst is people just getting bags, and they've managed to – I don't look at any one of those deals as being detrimental. You know what I mean? They've done pretty well, but he usually does well in the third and fourth waves. That's usually where you get your special teamers, and – they already went and got Bubba his guy for this year. We'll see what else they do. But I'll tell you what, this free agency's done. It's changed my stance on the draft. because they're not drafting for need at all now. Like, their need's a strong word for what's going on now. They've shored up so many areas that it's like best player available now, man, and just fluidity. I won't be surprised if they trade back or trade up, depending on how the board falls, because of the moves they've made so far in free agency.
I still wish they would take a wide receiver because of this class. And I think it would be a good one there.
Yeah.
But I do think that Pete feels strongly, I think, that they're going to go tackle high in the draft or one of their higher picks because of the tackle or just the O-line situation next year.
Deep draft. Even guard, you got some aging veterans on the interior.
Yep.
This is a good offensive line draft period. That's the other thing too, is we can want who we want. They're going to get an offensive lineman. They're going to get a corner at some point in this draft. It's what they do. You know what I mean? It's the offensive tackle depth is crazy. You know, like there's guys that are at the bottom, like Garrett Greenfield and, you know, Travis Glover that no one's talking about that have starting potential. I'm with you though. I'd like to see them add another wide receiver if the board falls right, you know, and there's a couple guys that because it's such a wide receiver heavy draft that are going to get pushed into the second round that in some years would be considered first round talents, you know, and how many picks they have now? Six rookies aren't making this team, you know, so I could see them moving up if the right guy starts to slide.
Good question, Serge. I was just going to ask that myself to Casey. I'll give you my thoughts. Do you still think five draft picks were being corrected? Five. That's what Crash Override 330 says. In the thanks, guys. Second, third, fifth, sixth, seventh. So here's the deal with Newsom, and here's what gets interesting here about Newsom's deal, is you have that Carlton trade, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Which trade?
There was a corner trade. He's a good corner, too. Carlton? Isn't that his name? From the Bucks.
I didn't see it. I did not see a trade, a corner from the Bucks.
Yes. Yes, he did.
What did he net?
Carlton Davis.
Oh, okay. I was thinking Carlton is the last name, and I was drawing a blank. Gotcha. No, I did not see the trade, so I don't know what he netted. I still think you can get a day two pick for Newsom. I think you can at least walk away with a third.
Lions, here we go, 2 days ago, the Lions land Carlton Davis, who's a good corner.
He's
solid. Consider him a number one. The Lions sent him a third-round pick and a sixth-round pick.
Yeah, I knew the Lions were one of the teams that were thinking about making a deal for Newsom, according to reports. So that's where it takes them off that board.
Lions gave up their own third, number 92 overall. They still have the Vikings third. Is that right? Lions sent a third. Oh, no. They sent a the Lions gave up a third for Carlton, and they sent a sixth back.
Okay.
So when you look at that compensation, and Davis is very good, but here's the difference, I think. Newsom, you would have for a year and a fifth-year option.
Mm-hmm.
I think Davis is in the final year of his deal, so you're going to have to pay him. And then he has some versatility inside, outside. Somebody's going to view him as a two on the outside, I think. Can you get better?
He would be a two on the outside here if you don't have Martin Emerson. You know what I mean?
Right. So I guess my question is, could you give up a – would you give up a sixth?
To net a third?
To net a third or a second. and Newsom. I don't think I would do that. For a second, yes.
Okay. Well, I'm also looking at, if you're talking about this specific draft, if there's not as much of, it's not a deep, as deep as a draft as we're used to seeing. So that six doesn't mean as much to me as it normally would. If that makes sense.
Yeah. The six doesn't mean, shouldn't really mean anything in this thin draft.
But Andrew Berry loves his six, baby. Like every trade we do, there's a six coming back for it at some point. And then he used that. He used the six to land Judy, a fifth and a six.
Yeah. They still have a six. I don't know.
Also say this, though, about the draft is, given all the moves that the Browns have made in free agency to shore up everything, I don't know if there's hype on this draft. You know what I mean? I don't think they're looking to solve things in the draft. I think they're, whatever they get, just going to be gravy. And, you know, it's difficult to say because so far during this regime, everyone in this draft has pretty much made a team and had a spot. At some point, that's going to start to dry up. You know what I mean? Like it's as your roster gets kind of filled out and you got your guys top to bottom and you're not replacing anyone from old regimes. Now these are all your guys.
So, I was right. Carlton Davis has 1 year left on his deal for $14 mm-hmm. million.
Okay.
Do you think he's better than Newsom, right?
I'm not as familiar with this game, but Newsom, I don't know, man. Like, it's weird. We're in a weird position with Newsom. Kid balled out as a rookie. Had a rougher year, his second year in, but they moved him to inside. He didn't take to it. He seemed to be happy about playing it this past year, and he played good in spurts, but we're always going to have the bad taste in our mouth of the Broncos game, of the Houston Texans game at the end, where he got done up.
This
but
guy,
overall, I think he's still viewed as, I mean, is he a top 50 corner?
Newsom?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Right? I think so.
I would say he is. I would say he's a top 50 corner. That's a pretty good spot to be in, man. So yeah. 32 teams and you're a top 50 corner. Someone's going to view him as a two, a young two who's yet to hit the physical prime. I think that nets you a day two pick, man. And it might be a third rounder, but I would take that compensation because you're not going to pay him. You got Martin Emerson. You're already signed up for Denzel and you're not getting out of that soon, you know? So you got to figure out a way, man.
Pat saying Newsom's 2 year contract is worth better picks. I think you're probably right because it's 2.4 million this year, and you get another year of control at 13 million on the fifth year option. So potentially you could get a second rounder, right? And maybe have to give something up. But I think if somebody came and said, I'll give you a two right now, I'd flip him.
Yeah. No, and I think they would too. I think they understand the writing's on the wall as far as the future.
Because you got to pay Emerson.
Would you trade him to Pittsburgh?
No.
You wouldn't do it inside the division?
Not in the division, no.
They're pretty needy at cornerback.
No, they can stay needy.
Okay. Just checking.
If Pittsburgh is going to try to get him, then somebody else would. I wait it out. So my final thoughts on running back, I wanted to comment on this guy. So he is the lowest PFF like corner grade I think I've ever seen, like a 27 point something. so I don't think we want him playing corner.
The gunner?
He's a special
team. Well, I know people were mad about Mike Ford playing, so maybe they're going to like make you miss Mike Ford. But as far as being a special teamer, all of the reports coming back on that kid are he gets it done on special teams, which is his only reason to be here.
Do you think – I think they like Khalif Halasi.
They do. They do. That's the word that keeps coming back.
Yeah.
You know? So if you have him, Mitchell, if they're going to add one in the draft, man. They've until I see them not take one, I'm going to believe that they're going to draft a corner at some point.
I believe you. I believe you. That's just what they do, right? That's a system pick. It's a system pick. At running back, here's what I'll say. I agree with you. You probably need to add another body. I think you can probably wait out this market and sign. I mean, like,
you can wait out.
Dylan sounds great, right?
He just signed. He signed somewhere, I think, since we've been on here.
Well, son of a. Let's get the available running backs here.
If he's gone, my running back of choice is Deontay Foreman.
Yeah, I like him. He's fun. He's a good back.
Resign with the Packers is what they're saying. Pending a physical.
Back with the Packers. D'Ernest Johnson back with the Jaguars.
Yeah, good for him.
We
didn't talk about any of the departures, man.
Huh?
We didn't talk about any of the departures.
Who are you going to miss?
I'm going to miss Talk.
Taki?
Yeah, I'm going to miss my man. I'm going to miss Talk. You know, good. I hope he does well in New England at his role.
He's steady. He was steady.
Bryant going to the Raiders, I didn't see. I figured he was going to be a Patriot. I thought that was coming. That's something also I think they could address in the draft is getting a third tight end. I'm not really high on Akins. You got Ricci to do some dirty work.
I think it's winning
in the draft from tight end.
Jalen Wright is – see, here's the problem.
Home run
I love
hitter.
Jalen Wright. He's so fun. Mm-hmm. But isn't he the same as Hines and the same as Ford style of running back, speed, speed, speed?
I see a little bit of Chubb in him.
Okay.
I see a little bit of Chubb in Jalen Wright. There's another speedster, though, that I'm high
on. I don't
in
know him. Enough yet.
There's another speedster that I'm high in on. It's Isaac Garendo out of Louisville.
Can you guys hear that?
I cannot.
Storm. Thunder.
Uh-oh.
Thunderstorm. If you lose me, that's what happened.
It's a sign they got Jeff Jalen Wright. It was God chiming in.
It was God telling us. So I like Cam Akers.
Okay.
I like Deontay Foreman. And I would listen to an argument about Alexander Mattison. That's it.
Okay.
Those are the three guys I'll listen to.
Well, Madison there when Stefanski was there. I'm not sure if their paths crossed.
He was the backup there, I think, for a long time, wasn't he?
I felt like he was, but I'm not as plugged in on Vikings football.
Let me check for you.
But that could have something that could play into it a little bit.
Yeah, he crossed over with them in 19.
Okay. Now I like Deontay Foreman just his ability to be a hammer. I think he gives you that hammer between the tackles.
He does. Yeah, he does. Who else got away? Anthony Walker down to Miami.
Yeah, I don't get that fit, but okay.
Yeah.
Look, man, he's a great leader. He just athletically, he was not what they needed. I think that's what you have to go
couldn't
with.
Couldn't stay on the field either. I mean, he even mm-hmm. played well when he was healthy. It's not even... Although I do think they wanted a better athlete, to your point, it's not like he played poorly when he was there.
Yeah.
He just wasn't there enough.
I got one more re-sign for you. Where do you stand on Rodney McLeod?
I want him back. He was in my mock. I think they bring him back.
Yeah, for me, I thought he's one of the finishing pieces of guys to re-sign.
Yes. I think that it was clear that the safety room was better when Rodney was a part of it. No?
No, no, dude. He was an upgrade for sure, man. And also it was someone who gave like a safety net for Schwartz. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think that's important.
He's a quote unquote coach on the field guy.
Yeah. Coach and if you can athletically get it done, those guys are huge. It's when those guys can't athletically get it done that it's like a bump on a log. But no, he was solid, man.
Smart football player, understands the scheme, covered
and it gives
up
you flexibility. It gives you the flexibility to move Delpit around.
When they play dime with Delpit and Thornhill, that was some of their best back end games.
Yep.
So I think you bring him back. I think you're getting a coach on the field type guy with Jordan Hicks, right?
Yeah, just the experience, man. Like you said, he started with Schwartz. Like then when he came into the league, that was his DC. Seen it all. Great sounding board for JOK. Perfect guy to have in the meeting rooms. And he's productive. Like you said, five straight years of 100 tackles. I guess, and he's not a tackle for loss guy. He's not going to be a dynamic playmaker, but he will make the plays that are there to be made, and you have the guys up front to keep him clean. So I feel good about that, especially in the run game.
Real quickly here, as we're over at an hour and 20 minutes with a couple last things, JOK extension. I'm just looking at some numbers here. Jordan Brooks signed a three-year, $30 million deal. That kind of feels like what the JOK extension would look like, no?
I figure he'll get 12 a year.
12?
Yeah, I figure he will.
You think
I'd sign him for three for 30. I'd do that yesterday.
I think it'll be about that. Maybe they sweeten it a little bit with like signing bonus, but I can't imagine he averages 12 a year. Maybe like three for 33. That's 11.
Mm-hmm. And I'd sign that. I just think that that's the ceiling for his position right now, off ball backer. Maybe one day you'll see him start to creep up in that 15 range. But
did anybody, any linebackers get that much this offseason so far?
I don't think this offseason.
Charlie just mentioned Queen. What was Queen's deal? I'm looking right now.
Yeah, you say you'd know better than me. I do not know.
Can you believe that? I thought for sure he was going to Seattle.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too, is if you look at what Baltimore had coming up, they had three big guys on defense about to hit free agency. They give Madubuike the bag. Stone goes to the Bengals. And then Queen goes to the Steelers. So they lose. They stay in the division. So it's still a problem for us. You know what I mean? And I will say this. Ever since I was a kid, Pittsburgh always had that dude. They always had a dude at linebacker all the way back to Hardy Nickerson or Kevin Green, Porter. Like it just Harrison. Like it was always a thing. And they've been since Shazier, they've been in a drought. You know, since Bush got hurt, they really haven't had a dude at linebacker. And now they got one again. It kind of pisses me off.
Queen got 3 years, $41 million. Now probably only like, I haven't seen the details on it, but I would guess like maybe like 16 of it or 17 of it is guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. I don't know the numbers on it.
But
I think JOK will probably get close to 12, man. Then he's worth
that's it. That's 13, almost 14 a year. I don't think he'll get that much.
No, I don't think he'll reset a market in that way, but
I'm guessing around three for 30 sounds about right to me.
I hope you think so too.
You think I'm wrong, huh?
I don't know. I mean, dude, we're talking about $1 to $2 million difference. You know, it's in the grand scheme of things.
Let's fight about it. All right. What is there anything that has to be done?
That's the thing, man. No, has to? No, that's where they put themselves. I don't feel like. Need is a strong word. Things you might like to see, yes, but need? No, I want them to sign a running back. I think they could add another receiver. They need to kick the tires on getting a third tight end, but we're talking about the third tight end. Running potentially back, could be the second.
Rodney McLeod at safety.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if it's not McLeod, I'm not worried about it because you got Bell and Hickman.
That's the thing.
McLeod,
had those kids not shown that they could do that, then all of a sudden we're like panicking, but like they have playable depth.
They do.
Yep. Playable depth. It's like hard to call it a need. They need to get rid of Greg Newsom and get something, get that out of the way.
Yes. Trade Newsom, grab a running back, third tight end. I mean, tight end three is a – I'm not going to call it a need, but it's a legit something that needs addressed because Christina Ricci or whatever his name is isn't gonna cut it as far as running routes and whatnot.
Yeah, he's – if you look at his stats, they're pretty barren. He's there to do the dirty stuff.
He is. I think they're going to draft a tight end.
I got a couple in mind.
How dare I slander Ricci, Jeff? I'm sorry. I wouldn't mean to slander
Giovanni,
him. I just couldn't.
Giovanni Ricci?
I couldn't think of his name. Giovanni Ricci. He's an Ohio boy. I shouldn't talk about him like that. And he does the dirty work. So I'm not. I didn't mean to disparage him.
It's a great Italian name.
Couldn't think of his first name. Giovanni Ricci.
It's a great Italian name.
What else? That's it?
Like I said, man, they've shored up way more than I thought they would shore up early in free agency. I figured we'd be kind of waiting to see how things played out. But we didn't have to wait for very long, man.
Corey Bajorquez back.
Yeah, that scared me for a split second. I'm not going to front, because I was hearing reports other teams were talking to him. I'm like, wait a minute, what are we doing?
Like, they really handled all the serious business right away.
They did. And I didn't expect that. And it's not just because I didn't think they would address it. I thought the players in question would hold out a little bit.
All right, let's look at real quick. Let's go around. We've got 5 minutes. Let's go around the AFC North. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh Steelers have signed linebacker Patrick Queen, Russell Wilson, Dante Jackson, via trade from the Panthers.
Yeah, they lost Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, they lost Deontay Johnson. They signed long snapper Christian Kuntz.
Re-signed. I got nothing for you there.
Okay, Dante Jackson, does he make their corner room better?
Yeah, their corner room is god-awful.
Well, so you've got, what's his name? Commits a penalty on every play. They like him. Joey Porter Jr.
Yeah.
And now they have Dante Jackson. Is that it?
They cut Pat Pete. You know, he's gone.
He says Jackson's always hurt. Pat Pete's out. So... Mm-hmm.
He makes the room better, but like by how much, I don't know. They still need another one. That's the reason I was asking you about Geno.
Yeah, you think they'll call on Geno? I think
they've never hesitated to get a player off our hands.
I'd hang up on them if they called, and I'd be like,
unless you can get them, if you can get a second, man, I don't know.
Good luck.
I don't know.
I guess you probably would know how his weakness is if you had to play against him. Who? I mean, it's not. This has happened before. It didn't happen via trade, but
Joe Hayden went straight to
Joe them. Hayden went over there.
They also took Justin Gilbert. They have a history of poaching our cornerback room, baby. What are you talking about?
Good riddance, you filthy animal! All right, I'm looking for the other. We're gonna do Cincinnati next. All right, what's gonna happen with T. Higgins?
No one's making a power play. I don't know, man. I feel like he probably ends up in Cincinnati. I'm shocked by it, but
I thought the Panthers were on it.
Yeah, that was. I've been saying that for a year. Future Panther T. Higgins. For something that no one's making a move on it, man. So maybe that's a draft day thing. You think that could be something that happens in the draft? I mean, it's a decent price tag for.
I think he stays in Cincinnati.
Probably. I mean, it's part of who their identity is, man.
They'll probably hold out and then play on the tag.
Mm-hmm. And they also got a receiving tight end now, which they haven't had. I don't like that.
Did you hear the rumors today about the the big blockbuster T. Higgins and a first and a second for Justin Jefferson?
No, I did not hear
that. You didn't hear that?
No, I did not hear that.
They were saying.
Here's the thing, man. Jefferson's getting a bag. You already got a bag going to Chase. You just paid Burrow. And I don't, you know, we throw the word poverty franchise around a little bit, but if it's going to apply to one franchise, it'd be that one. They ain't fitting that bill.
Red Leader says he would trade Newsom to Pittsburgh for Pickens. I don't want that head case on my team.
Nah, dude. And look, I was super high on Pickens going into the draft, but after seeing what I've, like, I'm good.
Great uniform, bad helmet. That's what my dad would say. Football coach saying.
Your dad is not wrong. Dad's a wife, man.
Bad helmet. All right. Here we go. Look at these guys. Von Bell goes back to the Bengals.
Well, they're panicking. Their safety room wasn't what they needed it to be, so they've made some moves. They got
Zach Moss. They got Geno Stone. They got
backup. We got a backup. Zach Moss is what pissed me off. That was the one. When we're looking at running backs, that was my guy.
They got Mike Gesicki too, another guy that was on my list.
That scares me because they've yet since Burrow's been there, they really haven't had a receiving tight end. They've had some guys.
They had more Hurst.
He's basically a wide receiver.
Just a wide receiver.
Basically, yeah. That's not good.
If you don't block, you don't get the rock in Cleveland. You're right, Chris.
Yeah.
So true.
It's not true in Cincy.
Not true in Tennessee.
No. Good thing
Drew Sample back on a 3-year 10.25. That can't be the real deal. Sheldon Rankins, 2 for 26.
Did he sign? Last time I looked, that wasn't official yet. So he did.
And they re-signed Akeem Davis Gather. So they got better on the back end. They re-signed.
They needed to. They're safe. After they got rid of Bell and Bates, they suffered.
They did. They tried to bring in what
draft picks. They spent two picks. Played, in a row.
The one kid was pretty good back there. Their two safeties. The one was bad.
I guess they're going to transition him back to corner. Is the rumor.
Okay. Baltimore. Justin Madubuike, 4 years, $98 million.
Yeah, that's rich.
Derrick Henry, 2 years, $16 million. Yeah. Saw that coming 2 months out.
That does not strike fear in my heart.
To be a Raven.
That does not strike fear in my heart, dude. To admit for him to be, we've also, maybe it's because we've never had a bad game against him. Like when we play the Titans, we typically
shut him down. Check. You know, what scares me more than him? A healthy Mitchell.
It's the same thing with Pittsburgh. It's like when they keep feeding Najee, it's like, that's cool. Keep it out of Warren's hand. I feel this exact same way. Give me the power back. We'll tackle that dude. And also, to get Henry going, you got to feed him, which means the ball's out of Lamar's hands. I'm cool with that. I'll take the trade-off.
Kelly Black making a great point. I was starting to make this point, and then I
probably derailed you.
Lost that's my thought. We were talking and I lost my thought, but they did not help their offensive line at all, surprisingly, in Cincinnati yet. So
it's been a blind spot. It's been a blind spot for them for quite some time. And with what they have invested at quarterback and the fragility of said quarterback, you think that would be the utmost priority, but you know, Mike Brown will do Mike Brown things.
Josh Clayton says trade Newsom for Dawson Knox. Would you do it?
No.
How old is Dawson nowadays?
I'm not sure.
Early
30s. They would probably they might entertain it because they have Kincaid now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Knox is a good tight end.
He's good. I don't know. I think that's a position you can get in this year's draft. You already have David Njoku. I'm not. You know what I mean. So whoever gets ancillary, I'm not worried about getting another starting caliber guy for a trade. I would be more inclined. Look, man. I don't care if it's Geno for a second next year. I would take that. You know what I mean? I'd rather have the assets, to be honest with you.
Chris says trade Newsom for a bag of chips, barbecue chips.
Kettle. As long as they're kettle, I'm in.
Kettle. Okay. Baltimore re-signs Nelson Aguilar, defensive line Brett Urban, and Malik Harrison. So they have done nothing.
Yeah. I heard rumors they're in on some receiver and forget who
they
it was.
They cut Odell.
Yeah. Yeah. And Clowney's shopping his wares elsewhere.
Good. Get him
the
out.
Kid's
of there.
A mercenary. Like
get him out. So there it is. That's the breakdown of the AFC North. Any other thoughts? Cincinnati should be paying more attention to their offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
But they got better on the back end. Rankins for a reader, 1 for 1.
Yeah.
Reader's probably a little better.
Yeah, but he was injured last year. It's hard to gauge where he's at now.
Moss is a good back.
Yeah. Yeah, Cincinnati got better on offense, man. You know, they need offensive line help, but getting Gesicki and Moss, that's good, you know. And they don't rely on the running back all that much. I think Pittsburgh has gotten better.
Dawson Knox is only 27, by the way.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you could do better with your resources if you trade Newsom for picks because you have Njoku. I'm not really worried about it. Mike Brown, like I said, I don't like, you know, using poverty franchise, but if you're going to say it, it applies there.
I love him too as a tight end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sanders is one.
He's a beast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everyone in that class because if you just look at it in tiers, it's Brock Bowers, and there's this thought that there's this giant drop-off to these other guys. No one's paying attention, but there's some other dudes, man. Like, they're going to be starters in this league, and they're going to go. Tight end's just another position that's getting devalued, and they're so valuable because if you get a multifaceted one, man, and this the way this league's headed, you know, you're starting to see these guys that especially in the role that we just lost. We just lost Harrison Bryant, who is our H-back slash tight end. There's a couple guys in this draft that would be excellent upgrades at doing that exact job. So I'm hoping they attack it there.
You agree with this statement? Will they miss Mike McDonald?
We never know. We never know. I mean, it wasn't like they were bad when he took over. There was a little bit of a dip when he took over from Wink initially, and then he got his system implemented and it started rolling. So you never know. Man, look, I wish I could sit here and say that, but they're such a – they're a well-run organization.
Yeah, just give us Andrews for Newsom. Yeah. They already got Likely. They got two studs over there.
Yeah. Okay, I'd make that trade if you want to get a Mark Andrews, if you want to twist my arm. But yeah, they're a well-run organization, man. I find it hard to believe they're going to put someone in place and not give them everything they need to succeed. I wish they would. I wish that would happen. But that's the other thing, too, is we're in the most cutthroat division. You can think that we got better in these areas, but then you look around at the other teams and it's like, that's the reason we're the most competitive division, you know?
I really like what they did. I really like what the Browns did. I like the coaching hire. I like the Hines. Winston, I'm good with that as a backup. You got a premier backup. Zadarius was the biggest one for me.
Same.
First, Harris. And then you upgrade on – upgrading on Elliott was one of my other – my second key after bringing back Zadarius. And the thing about Quentin Jefferson, too – also, inside-outside versatility.
Versatility.
Plays a little outside, too. So, once again, you know, if you want, you can get super creative with your rush packages.
Alex Wright gives you that, too, man.
Alex Wright gives you that.
They've got guys who can play inside and out, you know.
That's what they're looking for, versatility. I like the addition. Like, I wanted him to bring back Taki Taki, but I knew that he might walk. And I was okay with, listen, I just wanted different guys around JOK. So if that means he walks and Anthony Walker walks, which is what happened, I was good with it, especially when you get Jordan Hicks back. Great signing. Love what he brings. Think he'll be more dependable than Walker and will fit better than what Walker fit into this defense. And then you bring in a guy like Bush, who, although he hasn't played well lately, get him in the scheme. Let Schwartz work with him. Use him, you know, exotically.
He can play,
just let him run if you want to. Mm-hmm. You know, just let him be fast. Go be fast. And that's what he'll do with him. I don't know what he can be.
It's a flyer. It's a low risk. Bring him in for comp on the back end and see what he can
do. He might end up being good enough to be a swing guy. You never know, right? Like, he's got a lot of play time. He's played a lot of games. He's been forced to play, start a lot of games at guard, both tackles. He's played all positions. So that's never bad, right? Bringing Michael Dunn back is huge. I think he's a very good potential to be a very good guard for a long time as far as depth-wise.
He can spot start at any time, too, and you don't have to. You're not freaking out.
And you don't really miss a beat, right?
Yep. Well, we didn't talk about Brown, Nick Harris even though teams. They did lose Nick Harris finally.
Nick Harris left, but I think that his replacement is Giovanni Ricci, right?
Yeah, because, unless they draft a tight end that can do that better.
He's your fullback, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think he's his replacement.
I don't think you'll see him take snaps. I don't think we'll be doing quarterback sneaks with him, though.
No. Last question of the night.
Let's
not
go.
Browns related at all. Philadelphia Eagles, Jason Kelce retires. Will they still be able to do the tush push successfully?
That's a great question, man. They've had a guard on. They have had a backup center on staff this entire time. It was actually handpicked by Kelce. Kelce was in on the evaluations. Yeah, when they drafted him. So they're obviously pretty high in it. I don't know. You just went and got Saquon Barkley. I'd probably just hand it to him. That'd probably be my move. And take less hits off Jalen Hurts if you could do that and make it more seldom as opposed to your go-to. You know, just because you got Saquon Barkley, I think you could let him handle those third and ones and fourth and inches.
Tampering. Take a draft pick from him.
Dude, it's so childish. There's a legal tampering period, but you talk to a guy too early. It's whatever, man.
Everybody has been tampering since the combine.
That's what the combine is now. The combine, like we talk about it for getting medicals.
Probably further back.
But it's there just to talk, man. It's there for, I don't know, it's childish, dude. They got these rules that don't make any damn sense to me. As soon as the Super Bowl's over, man, and that season's over, you should be able to talk to people.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, everybody in the chat. You guys are great. Appreciate everybody sticking around through the suspension there, hanging with us, always getting in trouble. Good stuff. Listen, I'm fired up. Everything that I want, like, we could be sitting here right now and be wondering about Zadarius and Shelby undone. Like, they got all the keys done.
Dude,
right?
My defensive line wish list was done like that.
Like that. And they've already upgraded. Good stuff. Fun times. Great show. Appreciate all of you in the chat. You're so the smartest football acumen chat in the land. You guys are fantastic. I appreciate you all so much for joining us every night. Over 800 people watching right now. If you've got a second and you're in Twitter, head over to YouTube. Help us out. Give us a like. It's a subscribe. I know you're watching over there, but you know, just jump over youtube.com/OBR. Give us a like and a subscription. Would appreciate it. But other than that, this has been another edition of All Eyes on Cleveland. For everybody knocking out killer work at the OBR, keep it locked in there for all of our coverage. For the one and only Casey Kinnaman, my name is Brad Ward. This has been another edition of All Eyes on Cleveland. We are out.
I began to lose control. I began to lose control. Began to lose control. I began to lose control.